Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast, one of First Family's resources. And I'm really glad you're tuning in today. Today is Tuesday, July the 7th, 2026. Glad you're on board. And I want us to take a few moments today on this Tuesday and dive a little bit deeper, in fact, perhaps substantially deeper, into the first pattern that we saw revealed from our text on Sunday. We had a pretty large text, 103 verses total, 2+ chapters. And yet, it really boiled down to a 2-verse couplet, and that was the bridge between two sections. These sections revealed for us two constants or patterns. That first pattern was all about response, a key word being it was about a costly response. And so I want us to think a little more on this podcast about that concept or that phrase, that word, response, costly response. In fact, I want us to go beyond the brief time we spent on this subject at the first service and beyond even the additional time we gave it in the second service. I did spend a little more time on the subject of a costly response in the second service. I want us to dive even deeper, and I want us to think in some ways about this that I think will stretch us, and I'll be very transparent with you. I think I'll be thinking out loud a little bit here on this, all right? But I want us to think about the idea of a costly response, because I've continued to think about it in these 2 days since preaching this message. And I've been asking myself, well, what actually makes a response costly? And I think most of us, we would admit that there is a spectrum there that we might even say perhaps it's relative depending on the person's situation. I think we would verify that through the New Testament example of the widow's mite. So I'm not denying that. But I think it's a fair question. What is a costly response? What makes something costly? And is there a way to think about this even more deeply? You see, most of us, we instinctively think of money. When we think of the word costly and the word response, we sometimes think, I'll need to give more, or I'll give in a one-time fashion in a way that quote-unquote hurts. It's a level of sacrifice I'm not used to. And I'm not saying that's not a costly response. I'm simply saying that's often what our first go-to is. Giving generously, that is a financial response that often is costly. I think sometimes we think of time and how serving in additional ways does cost us more hours, or maybe, you know, it costs us the freedom to be with certain people in our family. And so we expend that in a different way and for good reason and for good causes. I'm not saying that's wrong either. Again, those are two examples of things that are certainly real costs, and there's probably other ones. But those are all costs that probably we would say are actions, and they are real, they're legitimate. But what if the cost that's the deepest is actually a reaction? And I'm not necessarily saying that we would forego a proactive lifestyle or that we should only sit back and be passive until something happens. I'm not saying that, but I'm thinking through this, and I'm wondering, could it be that perhaps the greatest costs when it comes to our response to the value of Jesus is usually the cost of reacting faithfully when something doesn't go well or is unexpected or is not like we thought or is different? And again, that's a spectrum too. But I wonder this, perhaps the best barometer of what something truly costs us is the level of pain that we're experiencing in the situation. Because I do tend to believe this, and I kind of expanded on this a little bit in the 10:30 service. I do think the costliest responses to God are usually connected to the deepest pain points in our lives, whether it be a past situation or one that we're in currently, something very close to us, someone very close to us. I'm pretty well convinced that the costliest responses probably involve our reactions to what could be the deepest pain points, or maybe I could say the deepest pain intersections in our lives. Now, think about this with me. Think about Abraham. not just when God called him and promised him, and then Abraham left his family and his country and set out on a journey, but think about when God asked Abraham to offer Isaac. I mean, the greatest cost wasn't the wood or the journey. It wasn't the climb up the mountain. The cost was his son. It's an impossible scenario to try to describe, because no one probably that's listening to my voice would even consider this to be an option. This was Isaac, his promised son, his beloved son. So there's a lot going on here prophetically, even as we see in Isaac's deliverance. There's a lot prophetically happening. We know this now looking back. God wasn't interested in inflicting some kind of needless pain. He wasn't toying or teasing. He wasn't doing any of that. He wasn't tempting Abraham. But I do think in the strictest biblical sense of the word, he was testing Abraham, which means to prove and refine. He was testing Abraham to find out, hey, do you treasure the giver more than the gift? And so Abraham's reaction to that moment was actually his costliest response. And it involved a deep pain point, and it involved potentially, at least at some point in Abraham's mindset, letting go. That's a reactionary posture in some ways. Think about Job as well. His costly response wasn't in losing his possessions, the houses that were destroyed. It wasn't even in losing his health, where he sat in that sackcloth and ashes, kind of scraping his boils, I believe the book of Job tells us. It wasn't even in the distance, perhaps, or the friction between Job and his wife, but it really was probably in the fact that his life became suddenly unrecognizable. He lost all of his children in this, in these multiple incidents that were, you know, spiritual warfare incidents. I mean, he's being tested, and he's being attacked by the enemy through the Lord's allowance, in ways that were beyond what we can even fathom most of the time. And in the middle of that, he said this: the Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so that's a response to all that was happening. That was probably, in one sense, a very costly response. It would have been easier, I think, for both Abraham and Job to say, hey, I'm not doing that. I'm not responding that way. I'll let go of all that I thought I believed. I'll shrink back. I'll run away. I'm no longer in, God. Whatever it is you said, or whatever I thought you said, I'm out. I mean, that would have been maybe a typical response, because the cost looked too great. But instead, in this moment of, like in these two examples, of surrender, their response was to hold fast, to stay true. I think about Ruth, a widow who's now journeying with another widow. This is a very severe situation. A famine is upon them. Husbands have been buried. They're leaving everything familiar. They're clinging to the God of Israel while stepping into a very uncertain future. That, again, she doesn't quit. She holds on. She trusts. When all the ground beneath her is very unreliable, so to speak. And so these are just three examples of what I think are very costly responses, but they're in a rare, very real way, they're reactionary. And I don't mean that in a odd way or a bad way, but it's a response to something that occurs that's very painful. And their decision, their reaction, is not to quit, shrink back, or give up. It's to hold fast to God. And in that moment, they realize God is more valuable and worth more. He's of supreme worth than what they lost. And in some sense, in all pastoral transparency, that feels odd to say. And yet that's exactly what's happening. I think of Paul's example. And this may be the one that has the clearest language behind it. When Paul lists all of his credentials, and then he says this: I counted everything as loss compared to knowing Christ. And so Paul admitted the persecutions, the misinterpretation, what many believe, though it's not recorded in Scripture, the family dysfunction, perhaps the end of his marriage. There's scriptural hints that perhaps Paul was once married, no longer married because of his conversion. That's speculation, but could be true. But there's a lot of loss in Paul's life that he just lists in Philippians 3. And he says his reaction to that was not to consider himself a victim, but instead to realize the surpassing value and worth and greatness of knowing Christ. And so this is a very stark, it's stunning to me, that our costliest response may well be the reaction we have in deep moments of pain and trial and testing. That's why I say perhaps the barometer of our response, whether it's really costly or not, may be the level of pain associated with what we're going through. And so this is where I think the conversation, it does get very personal. It gets very intense. It gets very below the surface level. The conversation here kind of peels back all of our chest cavities. And we begin to think that a costly response may not necessarily mean choosing between two good options. Because we often think that I'll serve this much or I'll serve more. I usually give this much, I'll give a little extra. And we consider it like that. But that's not always how life works. Sometimes the pain comes first. Tragedy happens. A dream dies. A diagnosis is spoken and it's real. Betrayal occurs. And you didn't choose any of these things, but they're real, they're actual, they're happening to you. You didn't ask for them. And now the response and what makes it costly is deciding how you'll react, how you will respond to these things that God has either allowed, brought into your life to test you, perhaps ordains in such a way that Satan is coming at you to fight against you. There's all kinds of ways to talk about God's ordination of all things, but they happen and God is not unaware of them. So how will we respond after they happen? Now, I know people in our church, all of these situations are real. A young husband, he loses his wife far earlier than anyone imagined, or a young wife loses her husband in such a way, a widower or a widow, or someone married for decades, they're a widow or a widower. A couple buries a child, or a faithful spouse, a faithful husband or wife, their spouse just decides to commit adultery or leave them or abandon them. A lifelong dream that someone has to die, so to speak, because now they have to actually care for aging parents. Or perhaps it's a child born with intensely special needs and all of their plans are now changed. They're different. And it's going to be that way for decades. No one chooses any of these what we may look at as losses or difficulties. They are painful and they're real. And yet the response to those situations, the response to remain faithful, is actually the costliest response of all. And that's what I want us to think about, that staying faithful, continuing to trust when it would be much easier to become cynical, continuing to worship when perhaps being silent seems a lot more natural, continuing to believe God's goodness, even when your circumstances, they're screaming that, how could a good God ever do this? I mean, those are all things that happen. They're real. We experience them. We're very human. And in those moments, staying faithful, trusting God, responding with trust and faith, that actually may be one of the costliest responses we could have to the value and supremacy and worth of Jesus Christ, our Savior. You see, one of the hardest truths to realize and grapple with is this. Sometimes our first response isn't willingness. These things happen and we have other first thoughts. I think a lot of folks have had those. They debate several options, so to speak. Sometimes it's reluctance or confusion, lingering in grief longer than perhaps is healthy. We wrestle through these things. I mean, even Jesus in the garden, in his most fully human moment made visible, he says, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. But he ended with, of course, not my will, but yours be done. And so faithfulness, this costly response of reacting to pain with a posture that trusts the Lord and holds fast even in the midst of that pain, that doesn't require pretending something doesn't hurt. It just simply means acknowledging exactly how much it hurts while still entrusting yourself to God. Now, let me add one brief caveat. An important clarification I think will help us in this. Pain does not automatically prove that we're obeying God. Suffering does come, sometimes because of our sin or our stupidity, our own sinful choices, or just from the fact that we live in a fallen world. So we should never go looking for pain as though suffering itself were some kind of virtuous posture, regardless of maybe what's behind it or how it's working, okay? That's not what we're saying. But we are saying this: when obedience to Christ intersects with genuine loss, that's often where the costliest responses are forged. The Christian life has never been about pursuing suffering. It's about pursuing Christ. But most of the time, that pursuit will lead through suffering. It will bring about persecution, pain. And see, here's what encourages me most. That moment is when we can give our costliest response. And it is a reaction. And though it may not include money or time, it does include a realization that there is something more valuable than what we either lost or are on the verge of losing or watching fade away. It's Christ Himself and that relationship that He actually made possible. And Christ walked this very road. He has done more than just give an example. He is and was the example in its fullest, most complete, perfect form. He responded perfectly to the Father's will, which was the cross, and He endured that cross. And so our responses, even when they're costly in their reaction, they are grateful because we are simply responding to a God who's done the very same thing for us. And so to kind of bring all this thinking out loud to some concluding thoughts and to take these moments in which we've been stretching ourselves mentally, so to speak, if you're walking through one of those painful places today, you're grieving, you're disappointed, betrayed, uncertain, I want to encourage you with this. Your faithfulness is costly, and it's worth it. It probably hurts more than anyone around you realizes, and you can't financially make that tangible. You can't put that into time markers. It's something much more valuable than that. And so it can be frustrating sometimes to give such a costly response in deep pain when you realize that even in that moment of deep pain, Jesus is worth it. He's of greater value, and you will not turn your back on Him. You will not let go of all that He's given us in His Word and through His Spirit, because you know He understands costly obedience too. He understands sorrow and tears. And so you don't shrink back. You don't let your pain become a permission to drift from Christ. Instead, your pain becomes another opportunity. My pain becomes another opportunity to say, Lord, You are still worth trusting. You are still worth pursuing. You are still worth following. You are worth every costly reaction, response. That's what I think is really behind the words costly response. And perhaps the barometer to judge how costly it is directly tied to the level of pain involved. And I just want to encourage you, to all of you who have gone through very difficult moments and have stayed true to the faith once and for all delivered to the saints, you have not shrunk back. You've been like Hebrews says, you have held on. You have persisted. You've remained faithful. I want to say thank you for your costly response to very deep tragedy and pain. Thank you for loving Jesus more than anything. And may God's presence continue to remind you and me that whatever it costs us to follow Him, He has already paid infinitely more than we'll ever pay to bring us near to Himself.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.